What would happen if we all faithfully prayed for one another here at Trinity? What would our spiritual lives look like if we all faithfully prayed for one another? What would our church look like if we all faithfully prayed for one another? There's a Bible character that is a wonderful role model for us. He is hidden in the book of Colossians. His name is Epaphras. Look behind me on the screen at Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. That's a church member. What would happen if each one of you labored earnestly in prayer for one another, that we would all stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God? Many of you already pray for each other. Many of you already pray for each other, but here's the problem. Our minds are so consumed with the trivial things of this world that our prayers for each other are usually about our earthly circumstances. Our minds are so consumed with our earthly circumstances that our prayers for each other are almost always centered on earthly circumstances. It's very important that our prayers for each other rise above earthly temporary circumstances. How do you pray for your brother and sister? How should you pray for one another? This morning I'm going to give you 5 prayer requests that you can use for any person in this room. 5 prayer requests that you can use for any person in this room. There's notes in your bulletin. Please take them out. Please take notes. And please use this sheet to pray for each other. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, and speak to you from the Holy Scriptures today? Pray that God would feed you and build you up from the Holy Scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, would you please pray for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and feed and build up and challenge and encourage them from the Bible. Pray for the other people in this room right now. Now, would you please pray for me? Pray that in humility, in purity, I would truly speak for God this morning. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. May I truly speak for you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one in your notes, pray that we would absolutely love the Holy Scriptures. Pray that we would absolutely love the Holy Scriptures. You're here this morning and you pray faithfully for the other people in this room. How often do you pray that? Pray that we would absolutely love the Holy Scriptures. Please open the Holy Scriptures with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, starting with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We need to pray for each other because we are weak. We are stuck in this flesh, and the flesh values other things more than the Scriptures. We need to pray for each other that we would truly value the Scriptures more than gold, much fine gold. Look at the benefits of the Scriptures. It restores your soul. The Word of God restores your soul. It makes you wise. It brings joy to your heart. It enlightens your eyes. There is great reward in holding fast to God's holy Word. What kind of a church would we be if we all loved the Bible? What kind of a church would we be if we all loved reading the Bible? We all loved studying the Bible. What kind of a church would we be if God collectively gave us, all of us, a love for the Scriptures? What kind of church would we be? Pray for it. I confess to you, Trinity Baptist Church, that this is my attitude. I love the Scriptures. I have so much joy over the privilege of reading God's Word, I can hardly hold it in. Right now, in my personal quiet time, having nothing to do with anything in my ministry here at Trinity, having nothing to do with my ministry here at Trinity, just because I love reading the Bible, I'm reading Jeremiah and I'm reading 2 Timothy. And I love getting up in the morning, getting dressed, getting some breakfast, and getting out there and reading Jeremiah every day. I can't wait to do it. Every day I can't wait to read 2 Timothy. And I can't wait to finish 2 Timothy because I'm moving on to Titus. And I can't wait to finish Jeremiah because I'm moving on to Lamentations. I read the Bible cover to cover over and over and over again. And one of the best days of my life is when I get up in the morning and I read this. Look behind me on the screen. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen, come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. The last verse in the Bible. One of the greatest days of my life, the day I look forward to so much, is the day I get up in the morning and read that verse. Why? Because the next morning, I get up and I read this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I get to start all over and do it all over again. And Trinity Baptist Church, that's my life. That's my life. I work through the Bible and then I start over. And I work through the Bible and then I start over. And I work through the Bible and that's my life. And it's the greatest life ever and it should be yours. It should be yours. Pray for each other pray for each other that God would give us a love for the Scriptures. It has to be a work of God, Trinity Baptist. I do not love the Scriptures so much because I am such a great guy. I love the Scriptures so much because God has touched me with a love for the Scriptures. Pray for it for you and pray for it for the other people in this room. Just loving the book is not enough. We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves as we read. Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 7? Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, says this: "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who," watch, "hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Question: according to the parable, which man heard the word of Christ? Both of them. Both of them. It's not enough to hear. We have to humble ourselves and put them into practice. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. May your prayers rise above temporary earthly circumstances, and may your prayers for each other focus on loving and obeying the Scriptures. Number two, in your notes, pray that we would have a humble heart. Pray that we would have a humble heart. Please open with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Jessica has verse 16 and 17 on the screen, but if you would please open with me, we're going to read the whole thing. So you need to have it open with you and in front of you. Psalm 51. You can see in your Bible that this is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. We saw that when we went through the book of 2 Samuel. David says this in verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. In the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. Verse 16, in front of you and on the screen. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is what God wants. And you and I need God to give us a broken heart. Pray for each other. Pray for each other that we would present to God a broken and contrite heart, because that's the worship he wants. What does it mean to have a broken heart? The Hebrew word broken is the word shabar, and it means broken. The Hebrew word contrite is the word daka, and it means crushed. Crushed. As you know, Psalm 51, as I said, is King David praying to God. King David slept with the wife of one of his bravest, most loyal soldiers, one of his mighty men, and then had him killed. A terrible sin. And when the prophet Nathan confronted David with his sin, David realized what he had done, and he was heartbroken. David realized what he was done, and he was heartbroken. In your notes, A, to have a broken and contrite heart means to have deep, sincere sorrow for displeasing the Lord. To have a broken and contrite heart means to have deep, sincere sorrow for displeasing the Lord. Sin brings God sorrow. Sin makes God sad. And we should have the same attitude toward our sin that God has toward our sin. A broken and contrite heart is the worship he wants. Notice in verse 17, Psalm 51, 17, it says that a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. God will not despise. B, in your notes, to B, God gives grace and forgiveness to those who humble themselves. God gives grace and forgiveness to those who humble themselves. Brothers and sisters, listen to me, please. Let's be honest with each other. I know you sin. And you know I do. Please don't be afraid to be honest with me. Please don't be afraid to be honest with me. If you come to me, or you come to Carrie, or Michael, or Jerry, or Saku, if you come to me and you say, Pastor, I blew it. I blew it. I've been living in sin, and God has helped me realize it, and I am brokenhearted because of my sin. Would you please help me, Pastor? Would you please help me? If you come to me or any elder with a broken and contrite heart, a broken and crushed heart over your sin, and a sincere desire for God to clean you up, God will never, ever, ever turn you away, and neither will we. Neither will we. We need to help each other. And if you're afraid to confess your sin to me, and I'm afraid to confess my sin to you, we can't help each other. This is how we can pray for each other. We all sin. We all sin. So pray that God would give us a broken and crushed heart when we do. Pray that we would be humble. Number three in your notes. Pray that we would live by faith in the unseen God, not by fear in what we see. Pray that we would live by faith in the unseen God, not by fear in what we see. One of the most incredible chapters in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11. Would you open there with me, please? Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish, along with those who were disobedient, after she'd welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? Time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, putting foreign enemies to flight. Women receive back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Trinity Baptist Church, God is faithful. God is faithful. And we, you and I, are called to continue the story of this beautiful chapter. We are to continue the story of this chapter. We need to pray that Trinity Baptist Church would continue the story. We need to pray that we can write the history of this church. And when we write the history of this church, it says, by faith, Brian and Carla trusted and obeyed against all odds. By faith, Jerry and Trish trusted and obeyed against all odds. By faith, Mike and Debbie trusted and obeyed against all odds. By faith, Chris and Liz Benson trusted and obeyed against all odds. By faith, Doug and Sally Martin. By faith, Samuel Chia. By faith, George Vries. By faith, Betty and Donna and Grace and Dorothy. We need to continue the story. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. I need God's help to walk by faith, and so do you. Your prayers for each other must rise above earthly circumstances. We must pray that we are people of faith. Number four. Pray that we would forsake the contamination of sin and embrace the treasure of holiness. Pray that we would forsake the contamination of sin and embrace the treasure of holiness. For this, would you please turn to Colossians chapter 3 with me in your Bibles? Colossians chapter 3. You might be sitting out there saying, why does Pastor Dave read such large portions of Scripture? And it's simply this: God says it better than me. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Brothers and sisters, the wonderful thing about Christianity is that God doesn't just give us a list of do's and don'ts. God doesn't just give us a list of do's and don'ts. God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts to clean out all the sin in our hearts and to fill us with his goodness and love. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, Dave Gordon was created by God to exalt and glorify him. But I've been damaged. I've been corrupted. I don't work properly. As a result of my corruption, now I exalt myself. Now I serve myself. Now I love myself. Now I live for myself. I'm contaminated. And the contamination causes me to malfunction as a human being. Sin is a malfunction. It's a contamination. It's corruption. My sin has corrupted me. And just giving me a list of do's and don'ts doesn't help me at all. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. And I need to be transformed into a holy person. This is what Christ does. He cleans up the contamination of sin and replaces it with the treasure of holiness. Say amen. He cleans up the contamination of sin and replaces it with the treasure of holiness. Brothers and sisters, pray for each other. Pray that God would clean us up. And pray that we would humble ourselves. Pray for each other. And pray, when you pray for each other, pray this. Pray that your number one goal in life would be to cooperate with God as He cleans you up. Pray for each other that your number one desire would be to cooperate with God as He recreates you in His image. We all need help in this area. I need help in this area. You need help in this area. And I struggle with it just like you do. I struggle with it just like you do. See if you can relate to this. If you can't, I'm going to be really embarrassed. But see if you can relate to this. You're reading the Bible. You're in your quiet time. And you come across a verse and you go, oh, rats. Now I have to blank. Now I can't blank. Now I need to blank. And you read it and you go, oh, man. Look at that. May God deliver us from that attitude. I struggle with that. I've done that. I've been in my quiet time and I've come across a verse. Oh, man, that's really going to mess me up. I struggle with that too. May God deliver us from that attitude. Pray for each other. We should run full speed into the transforming power of God. We should run full speed with joy and excitement over the Holy Scriptures, that God may correct our contaminated thoughts, words, and actions. Pray that when we read the Bible and our sin is exposed, we go, yes, thank you for pointing that out. Now I can do better. Number five. Pray that we would know the eternal love of God. Pray that we would know the eternal love of God. Please open to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to show you my favorite prayer in the Bible. Ephesians 3. Verse 14, look at this incredible prayer, brothers and sisters. For this Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That is a prayer. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That is a prayer. That is a prayer. This is the kind of prayer we should be praying for each other. Amen. This is the kind of prayer we should be praying for each other. Don't let your prayers for each other stop at earthly circumstances. We pray for each other when we're physically sick, and we should. But it's so much more important that we be spiritually healthy. We pray for each other when we have financial crisis, and we should. How much more should we pray for each other in a spiritual crisis? This is what's truly, truly, truly important. Pray for each other that we would know and experience the love of God. Pray for each other that we would know and experience the love of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 on the screen behind me. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all, so they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So you're here this morning, and you haven't been praying for each other. You're listening to my voice and you're saying, Pastor, I have not been praying for the other people in this church. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to decide that you will faithfully pray for the other people in this room because we need you to do it. We need to be praying for each other. Maybe you're here and you've been faithfully praying for each other. You pray all the time. For the other people in this room, you pray all the time. But your prayers do not go beyond earthly circumstances. You need to continue to pray for each other in your earthly circumstances. But our prayers for each other must rise above earthly circumstances. We must excel in praying for what is truly important. It works like this. It works like this. Listen to this prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that God would grant Brian, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in Brian's inner being. So that Christ may dwell in Brian's heart through faith. And that Brian, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that Brian Quiros would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Pray for each other. Heavenly Father, we want you to do an awesome work in our hearts. Please make us a people that pray. And please teach us to pray. And please hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.